Blog Talk Radio.
They said you wouldn't make it so far, and ever since they said it, it's been hard. But never mind the night you had to cry, 'cause you had never let it go inside. You worked too hard, and you know exactly what you want and need. So believe, and you can never give up.
Welcome. You are listening to Get Into It with Tina Conroy on Blog Talk Radio, and I am your host. Our phone line will be open, and that number is 516-387-1936. And if you do have a question, please hit #1, and we will try to get to the calls. Also, the chat room is open, and I will chat with you. To go on the chat room, go to blogtalkradio.com and find my show, and there will be a chat going as well. So welcome, everyone. I am so grateful always to be back with you if you are listening live or on the podcast. Hello and welcome. Today is March 4th, 2015, Wednesday. A funny little thing to this date is my roommate from college said it was the only date that moved, March 4th. And I think we need a lot of movement. I know here on the East Coast, we have been inundated with a lot of snow and slush and rain, and we feel stuck. But just the date, March 4th, we are moving forward. And so we can all just take a nice big breath and know that spring is on its way. I am so very excited to have my guest on the show, Dr. Lisa Langer. Before we talk about mindfulness, I would love to do a very short centering on mindfulness in our posture. So wherever you are, if you can close your eyes, go ahead and close your eyes and take a nice, long, deep breath in and exhale away. And notice your posture. Notice if you're sitting, you're standing, and where you are. Notice your body and notice your breath. And begin to find yourself with a little bit more ease, relaxing your shoulders and relaxing your face, and allowing yourself to come into this present moment. This present moment is all we have. Connect to gratitude. And with gratitude in mind, place your hands on your heart, one palm on top of the other, and just connect to your heart center. Can you feel your heart? Can you notice it? And take another breath and exhale away. And very gently come back to the room that you're in. And open your eyes if they are closed. So I'm very excited to announce my guest today, Dr. Lisa Langer. Dr. Lisa Langer is a clinical psychologist in private practice and the founder and partner in charge of all programming and development at Practice Body Mind Soul Company in Roslyn, New York. Lisa has a lifelong devotion to living body, mind, and soul. The essence of her vision is to facilitate deep inner transformation through a combination of talk therapy and body practices, enabling each person to realize his or her unique self. Dr. Langer received her PhD at the Dürer Institute at Delphi University and is a clinical assistant professor in the Department of Psychiatry at the Hofstra North Shore LIJ School of Medicine. She is a 200-hour trained yoga instructor and holds a certificate in Gestalt Psychotherapy. Lisa is enrolled in the Professional Mindfulness-Based Stress Reduction Training Center at UC San Diego School of Medicine, Center for Mindfulness. Her current passion is to initiate mindful living programs for individuals and communities. She teaches the 8-week mindfulness stress reduction course and mindfulness-based intervention programs in schools, community organizations, and healthcare institutions. Lisa is profoundly intent on developing mindful living programs and opening practice as a new avenue of growth for her clients and training doctoral candidates in body, mind, and soul approach to modern psychotherapy. Lisa is my friend and colleague, and I'd be happy to put her on the line. So hold on one second as I get her on. Hi, Lisa. How are you?
Hi, Tina. Can you hear me?
I can. Can you hear me okay?
Oh, yes, I can hear you fine.
Good.
That was
good.
Such a lovely introduction and centering, mindful centering.
Thank you. Thank you. So we are going to get right to it because this buzzword is, you know, this buzzword of mindfulness is everywhere. We hear it, we're hearing it more and more. And just let's jump right into it. What is mindfulness and how did you get involved with it?
Sure. Well, I'll just start with what mindfulness is, which is, you know, there are many definitions of mindfulness, but the one I particularly like is coined by Dr. Jon Kabat-Zinn, who is considered the grandfather of mindfulness, in present times. And mindfulness is a particular way of paying attention to the present moment or in the present moment. And the caveat is non-judgmentally. So it's a particular way of paying attention to the present moment without judgment and with acceptance. So my mindful journey really began over 30 years ago. I was living in Los Angeles and working there at the time. I got into mindfulness before it was even called mindfulness. Back then, it was just really just meditation. And so anything that, you know, a person did to quiet their minds or quiet their bodies was mindful. And so I started practicing at a place called the Taoist Institute in North Hollywood and started studying Tai Chi, which is a Chinese martial arts practice, but also a yogic practice. And I really began to get in touch with just how tense I was, what my stresses were. I was going through a lot of personal things at the time. And so meditation and yogic practices really helped me move through things.
And so because I guess just to kind of catch up our listeners is that, you know, there was this recent, mindfulness was on the Time magazine cover, you know, and then also a lot of people saw, you know, Anderson Cooper in that 60-minute segment. And so I found that interesting myself because it kind of boomed. I remember people talking about it. It was such a buzzword because he was not sure how he was going to go about it. So kind of like that was sometimes people think that mindfulness is meditation, but also you're saying it's a practice and how you do things and exercises. So maybe we can kind of demystify that a little bit.
Sure. So meditation is really the overarching term. Mindfulness, that's the larger word, the larger term. Mindfulness is a particular type of meditation practice. So there are many types of meditation practices, as you know, being a meditation practitioner yourself. And they come out of all different traditions and schools. And, people years ago used to do transcendental meditation and they'd get a mantra. So there's many, many types of meditation. But mindfulness, the term, was really developed in the late 70s by this Dr. Jon Kabat-Zinn, and it's a secular practice, meaning it's not religious, although it does come out of some ancient wisdom traditions. And so it's really gained in popularity over the last 25 years as more and more people, as it's been researched, more and more people have gone through what you told your audience before, the mindfulness-based stress reduction course. And mindfulness practices were developed as a way for people to deal with stresses in modern life, with the complexities of today's living.
Right, which obviously today's living, I mean, everybody has a cell phone. Most,
right.
Teenagers and young children at the age of 7 and 8 now at this point. And
right.
I notice this more and more that, and I have to check in with myself as well, but they're walking on the street looking down. They're shopping, they're driving, God forbid. But there's always this taking away. It's where can I be distracted? And there's more and more and more distractions as we've created more and more technology. Do you think that is that part of maybe why this is becoming so more popular? Because we're getting so more stressed out, or we have just so much happening?
Well, you know, I think that's part of it. Just to go back to the Anderson Cooper segment on 60 Minutes, which you were saying was so popular, and it is, and it was a tremendous plus for mindfulness. One of the first things Anderson says, he's going to go on this, 3-day retreat. I think it was in Northern California with Jon Kabat-Zinn. And he says, I can't put my cell phone away. You're telling me to turn off my cell phone? You know, just that alone, I think, sent him into like a really high stress response. So I think that, with so many people on devices and technology, a lot of us are realizing, wow, we've become very unmindful of our surroundings, for example, because we're always looking down, as you said, on the cell phones, on the computers. You know, I know when I ask my children to put away the devices, I've got to wait like 3 to 4 minutes for them to power it down, you know?
Right, right.
So,
I do.
There's just a lot of, I think the technology contributes to why mindful practices are becoming more important. And I also think just that people are looking for ways and tools to balance their lives
in a
better way.
I absolutely agree. I mean, we're both in this, committed lifestyle for ourselves and others to find the balance as best as we can, and having the avenues such as practice to be able to formulate your best avenue for each person. And so it's, we're here, and I find so many people, I see them in the yoga class, taking Reiki sessions, and the anxiety and the stress is just increasing. And so it's really amazing to have something to learn. And I want to kind of jump back, because it doesn't have a belief or a religious content, even though it had a background in history, correct?
Well, the bottom line is that mindfulness and the practices of mindfulness do come out of the Buddhist tradition. And if you're familiar with that tradition, there are, mindfulness is one of the four pillars. But in terms of the practice, it is non-religious. You don't need any belief system to practice, except perhaps the belief that, one breath will go into the next one.
Okay.
Right. I mean, it's very simple. So I think a lot of times meditation, people have been put off by meditation because thought it was a conflict with some of their religious beliefs. But essentially, a mindfulness practice as it's taught in the 8-week course, the mindfulness-based stress reduction course, there's no anyone from any walk of life, from any religious background, participates, and they do, and they really do. I just wanted to say one more thing, which is that most people who enroll in the course and start it, or even before they talk to me, they say, I'm the most distractible person ever on the planet. And everybody thinks that about themselves now, because the mind, you know, is pretty wild. So mindfulness gives us a tool to help us quiet that.
Right. So it's great. So it's all ages, which I love. So it's not like you have to be a certain age, and obviously, you know, for it's like yoga, right? So there could be, maybe yoga may have, obviously has modifications, where I would believe that mindfulness, you know, does not. It's really, really open to all ages. So I just kind of want to tell us a little bit about, I think might be really important to the listeners is, We phrase the term MBSR, but you can talk to us about it a little bit more, because the mindfulness stress reduction course, and you know what it. I know it's an 8-week course that you teach, so maybe you could just tell the audience a little bit about that and what to expect.
Sure.
Sure.
So the mindfulness based stress reduction course is, as you said, it is an 8-session course. Taught generally consecutively each week with either a half a day or a 1 full day silent retreat piece in addition to that. It is a combination of a mindful practice, which could include sitting meditation, a lying down body scan meditation, some guided meditations, as well as yoga, simple yoga, taught mindfully, and what we call a didactic or an instructional piece, as though, you know, you were sitting in a class, and that involves understanding our human stress response, what happens to the body when we're under stress, recording different parts of our week and our day. So that's more of a didactic piece where it's actually informational. So it's these three interwoven parts. And it's a 2.5-hour session each week where by the end of the course, you know, in the MBSR course, we do first and then talk about it. Whereas most of us in life, we talk about it and then
Right.
So
true. Yeah,
so
absolutely.
There are some, you know, interactive components, but a lot of it is spent, time is spent developing your own personal practice. And by the end of the course, a person generally will be able to say, oh, I like sitting better than laying down, or I like the laying down better than the contemplative walking, or this. I like the informal practice, that kind of thing.
Okay, so tell me a little bit, what's the difference between informal and formal practices?
Okay, so a formal mindful meditation practice would be, let's say, a 30-minute sitting practice where you use the breath as an anchor in your sitting, and you would find a comfortable seat, and you would return as many times as necessary to your breathing as the mind wanders, or let's say discomfort might come up in the body, and you would just sit in a timed fashion. That is what is called a formal meditation practice. Whereas an informal practice could be paying more attention as you're taking a shower in the morning, or brushing your teeth, or making your bed, something that we do all the time, but we go on automatic pilot. So mindfulness is really a way of coming off our automatic pilot.
So you could do informal practices really anytime. I mean, I'm just sitting here thinking, like, I could, instead of cooking dinner, checking my cell phone, and doing something else,
I could just enjoy
cooking dinner. So we could take these little exercises. And what I like about that, and this is sort of what I always loved about it, and I'm just learning, I would say, opening up to it more and more, but – I guess if it's always there with all the other practices I have, but I didn't realize there was, you know, titles like informal, formal. But what I love about it is these few little exercises that you're already going to do. So you're not really adding, you know, sometimes with meditation, we feel like we do have to put aside some time. But in the, I guess, the informal practices of mindfulness, you're already washing the dishes or you're already taking a shower or you're already, I don't know. So how wonderful is that to use that opportunity to be in the present moment? I'm going to kind of segue back to Anderson Cooper, where I think someone asked him, how did it change your life? Or did it really change your life? Or did it make your life longer? And he said he felt like it has, because he's in the present moment and really able to enjoy that moment. So he feels fulfilled and also, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but, you know, this longer expression of life, this longer gratitude. Yeah.
Yes. You know, that's so well put, Tina, everything that you just said. And because the beautiful thing about living mindfully is that if you can't find, 10 or 20 minutes or even a half hour in the morning to do a formal practice, you can bring a mindful awareness to every part of your life. Mm-hmm. And that does allow a person to savor the present even more. Like, just for example, right now as we're doing this Blog Talk Radio, I am so aware of each moment and what you're saying and how I feel and my body. I'm just noticing everything, and I'm able to really take tremendous pleasure in it. Whereas maybe at another time I might have been, oh, what am I worried about? What I'm saying and this and that, right, and blah, blah, blah. I notice those things come up, but I can much more easily, through the practice, let them go.
Right, which is just so, it's so much healthier for the body, because we all know we hold so much of that in the stresses of our body. So to be able to just be there is so nice. Now, I just want to touch a little bit on, we talked about how for all the ages, and tell us how, I know you have worked with children and you're working with different schools and community organizations and healthcare institutions. Tell me how children, tell me a little bit about that. How are children, do you feel there's a connection there? Do you feel they gravitate to it?
I think children are under just as much stress and complexity in their lives in some ways as certainly adults are. And while the mindful practices are taught differently to children, in terms of maybe there are simpler and shorter techniques that are used to allow a child to come into their breath and center, and we just started doing a mindful walking piece, which they like. And so, you know, many people have developed mindful programs for children, but it's never really too early to start. I mean, something as simple as a two-year-old walking in and sitting on your lap when you're practicing, you know, that's a mindful. I know that we're teaching it to preschoolers and up more formally in the classroom. Something as simple as sitting for a minute or two before starting the day or at the end of the morning or, you know, before the afternoon starts, which really helps kids center, come back in their bodies, and make a transition. You see, that's always hard for adults too, but sometimes kids, you know, okay, we're going to go from, you know, gym back to the classroom and pay attention. Or we're going to go from here to the playground and run around, but then we have to come back. So just those mindful pauses and a few minutes make all the difference in the world for kids to refocus themselves and get ready for the next thing.
Right. Well, I it's so true because I remember just my school years thinking, and even my children, even though they're college age and, you know, senior in high school, it's from one thing to the next. And if they just had that moment to, while they're switching classes, get to that next classroom, take a breath, feel connected, you know, we're giving them such an amazing gift. I know that the hope would be that so many schools, from private to public, would really adopt those principles so that we can allow our children to have this empowerment to have them be less stressed, you know, stressful and mindful in their life. So, do you think that do you see it more schools are getting on the bandwagon, or do you feel like,
you know, it's
taking time?
I think that the mindful trend is really everywhere. And so if the parent, you know, I just did a talk on mindful parenting, and, you know, the more mindful you are as a parent, perhaps there's always a trickle-down effect to the children. Or the more mindful a teacher is, you know, the more mindful the kids can be in the classroom. And something as simple as the teacher not rushing allows the child to be centered. Or, you know, like you said before, alluding to checking yourself with your own cell phone use. I mean, it all starts with us. So there is a lot of research. I want to say this. This is really important. There's been a tremendous amount of research on the mindfulness-based stress reduction course and its effectiveness with both adults and children. And that has been a real driving force for schools and hospitals and just society in general to open their minds to this. Because when you realize that the brain changes just after an 8-week course in a very positive direction, people say, well, sign me up for that. You know?
Because in a lot of – what I like about the course and all the findings and the research is that people do want to know the science behind it. They want to know what, you know, how can they quantitate what the difference is and what am I going to get out of it? And there's so much that we can take from it. So this program is, it's just amazing. I mean, we're so grateful that you teach it here with us at Practice.
Oh, thank you. Well, I just, you know, I wanted to say a couple things. So, which I didn't say before, which is that the mindfulness-based stress reduction course was developed in the late 70s out of the UMass Medical Center, UMass Medical Center, because doctors were saying, we have patients, we have people in our practices in chronic pain with chronic stress, emotional, physical, what can we do for them? And so Jon Kabat-Zinn helped develop this program. So it's not about fixing anything, as we said. It's about doing. So it came originally at UMass Medical Center, and now it's taught in multiple, you know, hospitals and around the world, really. But some of the research, I'll just say that there's a researcher at Harvard who looked at the human brain before someone participated in the 8-week mindfulness course, and then at the end of it. And there are significant changes in, you know, not to get too technical, but in our frontal lobes, which are involved in attention and executive functioning and learning and memory. And then deep in the brain, what we call our limbic system, which has to do with the fight-flight response, and those areas actually shrink, which is a good thing. So just in 8 weeks through participating, you can see some major structural brain changes, which have a tremendous effect on our ability to live under less stress. It's remarkable.
That's really amazing. I love that.
Yeah,
I love that.
It is.
That's really amazing work. Amazing work. So I'm going to post, I know you wrote for the Huffington Post. It was a fantastic article. And I'm going to post that link on our Facebook page. So whoever is listening live or on the podcast, I'll post that link on the Facebook event page. And that was, just tell us a little bit about that. That was just, it was about obviously mindfulness and
right.
Huffington Post picked it up, and I'm going to share that.
Okay.
So with the viewers.
Was really, thank you. It was just a quick little blog piece, and so I just listed five reasons to practice mindfulness in 2015. Do you want me to read? Do you want me to say what those are?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay. So the first one is that mindfulness is free, meaning that it is not only free, meaning that it doesn't cost anything, but it's freeing, so that we, with a commitment to mindfulness, we can become more aware of our reactivity and become more able to make choices. Like if we find ourselves responding or reacting in a certain way to something, let's say we're driving or we have usual ways of reacting to our children or our bosses, with the practice of mindfulness, we can free ourselves from just that sort of knee-jerk response, that automatic pilot that I was saying before. And the second is that mindfulness is simple. I mean, you can practice it anywhere, at any time, without equipment. I say if you're breathing, you're capable of practicing mindfulness. And one of the reasons I really like it is because it is so universal. I mean, the truth is not everybody can get on a yoga mat, and not everybody can get up and walk even, Tina. But everybody, if you're breathing, you can practice mindfulness. So it's flexible. You can practice it solo or in a group, as in the mindfulness-based stress reduction or some of the meditation groups that you lead. And I like that because we learn different things practicing solo sometimes as when we practice with a group of people. It's organic, meaning that it comes from the simple ground of our living, our bodies and our minds together. So it's not like it's not an intellectual activity. You know, it comes from the simple, present moment, organic interface of ourselves and our environment, let's say. And then the last thing is that it's relaxing. And it is a tool to teach ourselves how to relax and to relax, to get under the, sort of the constant thinking and, let's say, worrying and living in the past or living in the future. It helps us relax into the present moment. So those are really the five, the five reasons that I think. Make it a great practice.
Right. And it sounds simple. I mean, it really is simple when you really come down to it, right? I mean, you have these simple practices, and I love that you break it down to five easy steps.
Thank you. You know,
it's good.
I do say it's simple, but it's not easy.
Right. Yes.
I agree.
Right? I agree. Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's simple from the standpoint that it doesn't really require any technology. I mean, everything that we have in this moment in our bodies and minds, we have to practice mindfulness. But the sometimes the challenging part can be staying with, whatever our thoughts come up or what we notice in the body or what we notice in our emotional life. But these are all things that we use as grist for the mill. And in a course, in a mindful training program, a good teacher can help you work with that. So it does take effort. There's no doubt about that, and commitment.
Now tell us about, I know we're, believe it or not, time goes so quickly on the show. It's always
That's
hard to believe.
That's unbelievable. Wow.
I know. But we do have some callers, so I'm not sure if they want to speak with us, so I'll give them the prompt in a minute. But before we go there, Why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about the program, because I know it's starting next week, and we'll give them information how to sign up and so forth, what to expect.
Okay. So the Mindfulness-Based Stress Reduction Program at Practice starts next Tuesday evening, March 10th, and it'll run from 6:30 to 9 every Tuesday night. The week of, I think, April 7th, is we're taking a two-week break for the Passover Easter holiday, and then at the end of April, there is a half-a-day silent retreat.
Wow. How many hours is that, Lisa?
So what is that? That's 15 hours or more? Right.
Wow. Wow.
So it's 16, 20. I think it's like 20 hours. Or I don't know. I'm so bad on that. But,
wow.
It's actually over 20 with the silent retreat. And so the course itself, as I said, you know, is a combination of the different mindful practices, didactic, group interaction. I think it's going to be every group is unique. Every group that signs up, and people come from all walks of life and different ages and different genders. But the bottom line is everybody has stress, and everybody wants to balance their lives and reduce their stress. So if you're interested, you can certainly call Practice. Do you get that number, Tina?
Sure. That number is 516-858-3095.
And you can either ask to talk to me or talk to you, Tina, and refer to me and certainly sign up. There is a questionnaire that I ask people to fill out. It's confidential. Everything is confidential that you fill out, and it just allows me to be a more effective instructor. But it is the traditional course as developed by Jon Kabat-Zinn. So, as you said, I'm trained to do that, and it's very exciting. It's really... I've seen people make some profound changes in their lives. People who've done it once want to come back, or they want, you know, it really has allowed people to develop a practice that they can, that they bring into every area of their lives. So
great. And I just want to share with our listeners the website, if you want to look online or check out our website. It's practicebodymindsoul.com, and you can go on that. Now, I'm looking at my switchboard, so I have a couple callers. So what I am going to say to the callers is, I can see your number. If you have a question, you need to hit #1. If you don't do that, then I'm just going to assume that you're listening by your phone, which does happen. So let me just see if anyone's going to ask a question. I have 9086. If you have a question, you have to hit #1. If not, I'm just going to let you be there and listen. And let's see, 5718. If you're just listening, that's fine. If you have a question, #1. So sometimes what happens, Lisa, is people listen all around the country from Blog Talk Radio, and sometimes they just listen by phone, or they can listen on their computer. And if they do want to get picked up, they have to show me a prompt. So I'm just waiting for that. But while we're waiting, and again, they may just be wanting to listen, what would be your dream for the future for mindfulness and reaching communities?
Well, my dream has always been to see some universal changes in healthcare delivery and just how people take care of themselves, healthcare, care of our health. And I really feel that mindfulness is a way to take care of ourselves, manage our health and our energy, pay attention both to ourselves and our relationships. And so my dream would be that it really that more and more people practice it. And that it is taught in the school to children at a young age, and that it's taught to medical students. I've done some lectures for medical students, and it is being taught in medical schools, but more and more, so that it's not just it's a staple, it's a requirement, and it will just make us more human and, you know, more grounded in life, really, in the present.
That's so beautiful. I love that.
That would be my dream. Thank you.
Thank you. So it looks like our listeners are listening, and they don't have a question for us. So I'm going to let them be nice and quiet and not click them on from my switchboard. I am so grateful to have you. The time went so very fast, and this show will be rebroadcast. So anyone who is not listening live or if listening live and they want to share it again, I will send it on the podcast. So thank you so much for taking the time out of your day and being with us here.
Oh, you're welcome. Do you think we covered everything? Do you think we hit all the...
I think so. Is there? I'm trying to see if there's anything we missed. I think we... I'm going to post up a bunch of stuff. We talked about... If there's any last thing, let me know. I know you have a little bit of time.
I guess the one thing I would say is if someone has some curiosity about mindfulness, but maybe a little reluctant or skeptical, I would just suggest that, you know, it doesn't have to be a lifelong commitment. Just give it an opportunity. There's lots of ways to learn about it. You can YouTube videos of Jon Kabat-Zinn or other instructors who are well-known. And you can even practice, you know, download different audio tapes or apps for you know, even a five-minute mindfulness or a 10-minute session.
Oh, that's a good idea. Do you have any other resources for people that are listening? Any books or something you like?
Yeah, well... Jon Kabat-Zinn's book is called Full Catastrophe Living, and that is a terrific book. It's thick, but you don't have to read the whole book. Or he has another really nice book. It's called Wherever You Go, There You Are, and it's just short little vignettes about bringing mindfulness to lots of different areas of our life. The UC San Diego School of Medicine Center for Mindful Awareness, if you go into that website, so if you put in, you know, UC San Diego Center for Mindfulness, you can download many different audio files to practice mindfully, you know, on your own if you want to try it out. A body scan, a sitting meditation, and there's lots of different information just about what mindfulness is. So articles that can be read, or you can also go to the UMass Medical Center for Awareness. But I would say on YouTube, any videotape by Dr. Jon, that's J-O-N and then K-A-B-A-T hyphen Z-I-N-N. Anything by him is worth watching.
Yeah, I'm going to post all the stuff on the Facebook page. Sometimes the links will just be popping up over there. So that's so great.
But those are places to start. Yeah, definitely.
Definitely. All right. Do you want to lead us in just a closing real quickly, maybe a mindfulness closing before I let you go?
Sure.
Thank you.
So wherever you are now, if you're standing, I would just suggest sitting down for several minutes and just find a comfortable seat. Bring your awareness to your body. Feel your feet on the floor. Your hips and pelvis making contact with the chair. Feel your spine stretching and elongating from the top of your head to the bottom of your sacrum and back to the top of your head. And just imagine that you're being suspended from above. Bring your awareness to your shoulders, in line with your hips, allowing your hands and your arms to rest gently either at your side or on your legs, and simply noticing what you are experiencing in your body in this moment. Perhaps you notice your breath, perhaps you are aware of your legs or another part of your body, your chest, the weight of your head, without trying to make anything happen or force your awareness, just notice what you are experiencing. And now simply bring your awareness to your breathing, gently noticing how you're breathing in your body in this moment. Noticing your inhale and your exhale, without trying to lengthen it or force it or make it go anywhere, just simply bringing your awareness to each breath, each full inhale and exhale, and settling into this moment right now. Once again, inhaling, noticing the inhale and the exhale. Inhaling and exhaling and letting go. So in mindfulness, just noticing what you're aware of right now. It could be simply my voice, your breath, your body in the chair, and gently returning your awareness to your breath in each moment. And when you're ready, just make some small movements. If you've closed your eyes, you can open them, allowing your body to move a little bit and coming back into this moment. So that's just a simple 2-minute meditation.
Mm, that was nice. That felt good. Thank you.
Oh, good.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so very much, and I'm sure all the listeners are going to be more enlightened with mindfulness, so I thank you. And
you're welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome.
Really,
you're welcome. And
yeah.
We will. And we'll have to have you back again, so we'll have to do some other segment on it. But thank you again, and have a fantastic day.
You too. Okay. Take care. Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, everyone. That felt so good to just end with that. Before I end, I want to tell you a little bit about what's coming up. So next Wednesday, I am broadcasting again. So I'm doing my shows a little bit more regularly. Next Wednesday, 4/11/15, I will be having Laura Burek on the show. Laura Burek is a nutritionist, and we'll be speaking about easy, healthy meals. I love Laura's approach to really easy, healthy meals, and making it easy is really key for me. I've been talking a lot about self-care, and for me, it's the ease, but also obviously the health and the wellness. So we'll be having Laura Burek on next Wednesday on Get Into It, right here on Blog Talk Radio from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Now, Thursday, March 12th, at Practice Body Mind Soul in Roslyn, New York, I am hosting a complimentary oil share, and that is complimentary from 1 to 4. You don't have to stay the whole time. You can come and go as you please, drop in, and you will be learning and sharing about essential oils, young living essential oils, high-grade essential oils, and how to apply them, work with them in our life. Oils have really changed my life. I work with them for all areas of my life, and I'd love to share that with you. And then lastly, Thursday, March 19th, I'm hosting the very first daytime Reiki 1 certification course at Practice, and that is from 10 to 4. So any of those programs that you're interested in, the phone number for Practice is 516-858-3095. The website is practicebodymindsoul.com. You can look at all our programming. We have so many things, as well as the upcoming MBSR program. I am always so grateful to all of you, and just taking a moment to hold you all in prayer, wishing you all the best until we meet again next week. Namaste.
They said you wouldn't make it so far, and ever since they said it, it's been hard. But never mind the night you had to cry, 'cause you had never let it go inside. You worked too hard, and you know exactly what you want and need. So believe, and you can never give up.